I pledge myself to a new deal for the American people.
This is more than a political campaign. It is a call to arms. Give me your help, not to win votes alone, but to win in this crusade to restore America to its own people.
While the renovation of the museum is an amazing achievement, it's important to realize the revitalization also includes new and exciting permanent museum exhibits.
And these exhibits tell the story of the Roosevelt presidency beginning in the depths of the Great Depression and continuing through the New Deal and World War II, and an emphasis on both Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt's relationships with the American people.
Lynn Bassanese is with us, director of the FDR Presidential Library and Museum, and we now welcome museum curator Herman Eberhardt. Thank you very much, Herman, for being with us.
A great pleasure.
Thank you. So, how much did you get to start from scratch?
Well, we did start from scratch. That's the great thing about this project. This was the first time, really, in decades, that the library was able to look at the complete package, the whole museum, and sort of take it and reinvent it. Take it from the, look at all the elements of it and completely rebuild it. And so that's an extraordinary opportunity. Sometimes you're just looking at changing a part of the exhibit here or a part of the exhibit there. This was a really once-in-a-generation opportunity to retell the whole story.
So what does the curator do?
Gosh, you wear a lot of hats. The curator
he was holding up the tent yesterday.
I think that's a broad question. Part of what I do is help to craft the storyline for the exhibit, working with other people, because one of the things I love about exhibits and museum work is it's an extremely collaborative kind of process. There are lots of different people who are involved, but you're working at trying to get your hands around the story, and sort of, and this was a big story. You've got this president who served four terms, you've got this extraordinary first lady, trying to find a way to craft that story in a way that's going to be interesting, exciting, and fit into 12,000 square feet is part of the challenge. As you move forward in the process, then it's a matter of looking for documents and artifacts that help to tell that story, and then weaving in AV productions to bring even more information to bear. And again, it's collaborative. You're working with all sorts of people across all sorts of disciplines over years. I guess the other thing is you write the words. And in my case, eventually it had to be a script written for the exhibition and all the labels. So I provided that as well.
When we see you start from scratch, and Lynn, I'm interested in your input in this as well. There are the things that people, and I'm sure many in this room who have been to this museum dozens, if not, hundreds of times to see things, and they're your favorites. You want to see Fowler's collar. You want to see the Ford. Yeah, sure. You want to see the different things. So you have to incorporate that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We brought out all of the objects that we know people loved. We also brought out some new iconic objects. We have one of FDR's microphones for the very first time on display,
which is so cool.
And we also brought out the Sphinx, that wonderful papier-mâché object that a reporter did for FDR at a gridiron dinner, and he loved it so much he said, send it to the library. It had been on display since until the 60s, and then we put it in storage and we brought that back out. So we try. The main thing when we did this exhibit, we always thought of the visitor. It wasn't what Herman thought it should be or what I thought it should be. It was what the visitor wanted to see and what the newer generation of visitors wanted to see. So what we tried to do is not only tell the story of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, but tell the story of the Great Depression, tell the story of World War II, because these younger people who are coming in, they don't know those stories. It's one page in their history textbook. So we tried to make it that they would understand the story, see the relationship of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, how they moved that story along, and that's what we really strive to do.
But you guys are very important in a way, because you become what Franklin, you make Franklin Roosevelt. You're playing with the clay.
Yeah.
And what you say goes, because, and so no matter how you try to be neutral, you can't always be neutral.
Well, I do think what Lynn was saying is we try to establish context for people. I mean, it really is surprising, you know, sure. sometimes to me, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised at how little people know about this period. If you know, our older audience, the people who came here in decades past, they'd lived through it. They didn't have to have context laid out for them, but younger people really do. They need to know what World War II was. They need to understand the Great Depression. Only when you understand that can you begin to appreciate the importance of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. So throughout the exhibits, we try to really establish context.
But do we love Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt? Yes, we love Franklin Absolutely. And Eleanor Roosevelt. And, you know, as you go through, what always impresses me is you see pictures of them. They're always smiling. They're going through the two greatest crises that the country has ever seen. They're optimistic. They're full of hope. And they're meeting the challenge, and that's what we hope people will get when they go through.
I was, yesterday when I was walking through the exhibit, you talk about the different generations, and there is Eleanor Roosevelt's typewriter. And a child walked up to and said, "Oh my God, what is that?" That stunned me.
Yes.
I was like, I had no idea what a manual typewriter
the
was.
The phones are another example
yeah.
in the map
the
room. The
phones,
kids
yeah.
look at those phones and say, what are they? I have to just really quick, a little story. Someone emailed me last night at 11 o'clock at night just to relay a story from, they were in the exhibits, and they wanted me to know that they were right behind a 13-year-old who was going through the exhibits and was just going, "Oh, look, there's FDR's hat. That's what he really wore, and there's that, and there's that." And that just warms my heart, because that's the generation that we need to reach out to, and to know that people are understanding that is really great.
We have less than a minute, but one of the things that came through in the remarks yesterday, and certainly from Anna Roosevelt, the granddaughter, was how you wanted to portray Eleanor Roosevelt and not have a separate piece, but weave her into the entire context of the museum.
Yeah, that was a goal right from the very beginning. In the past, like most presidential libraries, we had a separate Eleanor Roosevelt gallery. Well, when we were looking at redoing the museum, one of the things that everybody felt needed to be done was to change that model. Eleanor Roosevelt was so deeply involved in everything that he did. They were such political partners that it just felt false to have this separate gallery. So instead, we took on, I think, the more difficult task of finding a way to weave her in an honest way, show where she was very influential and important. So if you go through the museum now, you'll find her everywhere. And of course, after his death in 1945, we have a special gallery that continues the story of her public her life and public career from 1945 until her death in 1962.
Lynn Bassanese is director of the FDR Presidential Library and Museum, and Herman Eberhardt is the museum's curator. Congratulations on all the hard work and for sharing your considerable knowledge with us this morning. A great pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure
so
to
much.
Have you.
Again, you can find out more information at fdrlibrary.marist.edu. You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the FDR Presidential Library and Museum on WAMC.